Hello, hello, it's Joelle here, bringing you your mini-sode for this week. I wanted to start by saying, you know, hey, we have made it through one of the holidays. We've got the end of the year coming up here, so hang in there. I hope everyone had a good holiday and a good holiday weekend. For those of you who have to work Black Friday, I really hope that everyone is staying safe. I know a ton of people, Caleb and I talked about this as well, a lot of places doing all online kinds of activities instead of, or sales, not activity, I guess, whatever, doing sales that are all, you know, online driven to try and keep people out of the store. So I did not venture out into public really for any of that. So I hope that everyone else stayed safe. And that noise in the background is my dog chewing her bone. Tyler is out of town. So it's just me and the pups here. And they, of course, are going to crash my podcasting. Classic. So, yeah, I wanted to just start off by saying we're getting there. 2020 is slowly but surely coming to a close. So hang in there. I know, and I have to remind myself that just because the end of the year is coming does not mean the end of some of the tough stuff is not. That those things don't necessarily line up. We're not going to just wake up on New Year's Day and everything's going to be better. But as my therapist so wisely said last week, one day closer to things getting better, things improving, for the world to be improving, the economy to be improving, to our health being improved, and so on and so forth. Just one day at a time. All right, so we had a mini-sode last time that covered the caring for your brain. And I had done kind of the biggest three, talking about some of the science behind what I call the magic trio. And so this is something that I figured out and I talked about really, really early on in Feisty Mindfulness is, oh, how do you say? In our podcast history. There we go. And so I found some more science behind some of the things that I have talked about. And so number one, just to recap super fast, is move it. So it's keeping your body moving and the benefits of that on your memory and acting as an antidepressant. And then we have number two, which is aiming for deep sleep. And obviously getting sleep is really important. But in that process, we learned about how while you're sleeping, the stress hormone cortisol is actually kind of like it resolves in your system. So that's super important, especially for people who are like me, who have anxiety and whatnot. So we've got number two, which is sleeping. And then number three is eat a mind diet. And so that's basically just wanting to make sure that you are eating things that are going to help with your cognitive well-being, and things like whole grains and fish and poultry and olive oil and omega-3 fatty acids and such. And you know, I'm hoping that I covered that one. I think I remember doing three. But yes, what you eat matters. And so things such as vegetables, dark leafy greens, nuts, berries, beans, whole grains, fish, olive oil, the omega fatty acids found in fish and some nuts and seeds are particularly important nutrients for the brain. So that's number three. So number four, build your brain cell reserve. The brain learns and rewires itself from experience all the time. So the more complex the experience or the learning that takes place, the more integrated it becomes as a function in the brain. So because in the process of experiencing something, if it's more complex, more senses and regions of the brain are engaged, it makes it so that you're taking in even more information and you're actually processing it. So that process is using the brain's neuroplasticity. So that is actually it helps to fight brain atrophy, which is losing brain cells as we age. And it's also this thing called building cognitive reserve. And so you did that when you were younger, going to college or mastering a craft or getting really good at something. And by keeping your brain active, you have more brain cells in, kind of like in the banks, if you will. And that helps buffer the loss that happens naturally just as you age. So it's not like you can prevent yourself from losing cells completely, but it, if you keep your brain engaged and your cognitive reserve built up, then as you age and you naturally lose cells, it's less detrimental. And so to create a surplus of gray matter, which is this area of the brain that they're talking about in this research, things like playing a musical instrument, learning a foreign language or speaking a foreign language, complex games like chess, walk around, like learn your way around a new city, engage in a new relationship, and work your way around a new service or activity in the community. So these all involve procedural learning, which the brain is learning how to do something and processing that experience, not just memorizing new facts. So I guess that's kind of like the golden standard that you should be looking for. You don't want it to just be memorizing and regurgitate facts. You want it to actually be processing an experience. And the more complicated the learning, the better. I personally find that I get this quite a bit with just my job, working with technology and that constantly changing. There's always different ways to do things. I was just telling my mom over the holiday weekend that there's a ton of different ways to go about something on a Mac computer. There's not just one way to save an image and then open the image. You can do it a lot of different ways, and that's something about technology that it's changing and it's shifting just a little bit, and it's you're actively engaging in the technology in order to figure it out most of the time. And so I guess that's, to me, that's kind of how that works, and I think it's part of the reason I love my job so much is being able to work in technology and getting to constantly be pushing to learn things and being able to like experience it through that. Number five is get creative and be curious. So this kind of ties into the last one. Any creative endeavor, such as like a stream of conscious journaling, painting, mixing ingredients together without a recipe, making up a new game with your children, it all pushes the functioning of the brain into new territory and puts the brain in a state of flow. You guys have probably heard about this, and it comes up a lot when you talk about like creative things, and creative people talk quite often will talk about a state of flow. Curiosity can be important, can be a really, really important part of creativity. So following one idea and one turn in the road after another, it can open with open-minded interest and without perceptions or judgment. Okay, so I'm going to start again. Curiosity can be an important part of creativity. Following one idea, one turn in the road after another with open-minded interest and without preconceptions or judgment. It's a really long sentence. Curiosity can spur creativity. You can also borrow this idea from kids. Kids tend to really approach the world with kind of like that open-mindedness and awe, and they're just really uninhibited. They don't really care what they look like or what they sound like as they're figuring things out. They just start diving in and figuring it out. And it allows them to be even better at figuring it out and even more creative and to have even more joy in that process, which is awesome. So if you ever want fresh take on creativity, try and approach it like a kid, I guess. Number six, laugh out loud. Okay, so this one is a pretty big one, right? And, you know, you hear like laughter is contagious and laughter is really good for you. And what's the other one that it was always a really big thing when I was growing up? Oh, it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown, so you might as well just smile. I'm pretty sure my cheerleading coach told me that. I was a competitive cheerleader. We did a lot of smiling, even if it was all fake. So laugh out loud. Many people think of laughter as an emotion basically an emotion, and it's not, actually. It is a physiological mechanism that reduces stress in the body and the brain. And the science behind that is that laughter releases, catecholamines, close, dopamine and norepinephrine. And those are all neurotransmitters, kind of like what we talked about earlier in the last mini-sode where we talked about neurotransmitters. And they, these three that are released by laughter can make the brain feel sharper and brighter. So laughter is a good way of breaking the ice and bonding with people. And then bonding with people is really good for the brain as well. We talked about that. So just like kind of playing and creating new situations, dropping into the default mode network in the brain, making up new rules, new characters, and new worlds gives the brain a really good workout. So play often leads to laughter and then a sense of connection with other people or things in our world. And then that can also correlate to having kind of a sense of relaxation and ease. And those are all really, really good for your brain. And that's something that can be really difficult. And you hear like, oh, you know, I just don't get to play anymore. And, you know, or you find adults talking about, you know, how they envy children who can just play and relax and just do their thing. And this is true. But it's still really important to seek out opportunities to, you know, connect and laugh and, try and let your inhibitions down enough that you can kind of just play, experience something. Number seven, hang out with healthy brains. So focus on the power of social interactions with people, casual as well as intimate, and it all fosters healthy brain and psychological health. So as we continue to evolve and we move through our life in new ways, sometimes we co-evolve with others in their marriages and friendships and business partners, social groups sometimes stay intact and they flourish. And then sometimes, based off of different interests and life paths diverge, and we end up finding ourselves kind of like drifting in and out of touch with people. And so we may be meeting new people and we might connect with them really, really well, and we find ourselves gravitating towards them. But on the other side, we might also in the process find ourselves feeling further away from others that maybe we were close with. And while that's sometimes that can be really sad, but sometimes it's really good too, because it means that we are hopefully, right, we're gravitating towards healthy brains in the process. We're spending time with people who will encourage us to have healthy brains and engage in, you know, healthy brain activity. And you have that connection, which goes back to, you know, the other couple, where you can be comfortable and you're engaging in, you know, the process of having that brain cell reserve by learning about a new person and building a new relationship with somebody and learning to laugh and play and be creative together. All of those things can be a huge benefit to being around new people and being around people who have a healthy brain. Number eight, turn off technology. I feel like there's not a list that doesn't have this. And I think that should be just a really big sign. It's like a, just a, oh man. Yeah. This is the last one, right? So the last one is turn off technology. Researchers are documenting our rapidly escalating overuse of digital devices and identifying the increasingly serious effect on our brains, our relationships, and our resilience. So we've talked quite a bit about, you know, what it does to sleep and the light and being on screen so long and so much. And, you know, are we disconnected from people, so on and so forth. But this also adds in this resilience, which I find really interesting. So this overuse of digital devices actually affects, has a bigger effect on young, still developing brains. So in a world where your brain is constantly bombarded with emails and texts and posts and everything, one of the best things you can do for it is just to let it rest. Rest from long periods of energy-consuming, focused attention. So in the while we're engaging in these digital devices, they're finding that we are oftentimes just overstimulated, and it's just very, very consuming of our energy. And it can, yeah, it has a big negative effect on several of very essential capacities of your brain. So yeah, recapping, in this article, we go over eight things. One is move it. So get your body moving. Tons of science behind that. Two, aim for deep sleep. Number three, eat a mind diet. Four, build your brain cell reserve. Five, get creative and be curious. Number six, laugh out loud. Number seven, hang out with healthy brains. And number eight, turn off technology. So this is pulled from an author who wrote Resilience. Powerful practices for bouncing back from disappointment, difficulty, and even disaster. And the author is Linda Graham. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist and self-compassion teacher and so on and so forth. So I, that's like such a tiny portion of what gets covered, in her book, but I think that it is a really great introduction and a really like nice bite-sized piece and like things that you can do and actionable things based off of, good science. But if you want to know more, especially when it comes to like kind of like bouncing back from this year, right? I know I'm looking forward to feeling that, like, kind of like, yeah, I can bounce back from this. Like, I keep that in mind. And so if you like this and you'd like more, yeah, that book, Resilience, Powerful Practices for Bouncing Back from Disappointment, Difficulty, and Even Disaster. Linda Graham, I highly recommend that book. I have not read it, but after going through some of the research and looking her up and seeing some of the other things that she's written, I think it would be a great book if you like it, like this topic and want to learn more about that. Yeah, that is the mini-sode. I knocked all of those out pretty quickly. I definitely went more in depth on the ones that I felt were probably the, they had the most science behind them the first time. So if you missed that episode, definitely go back and check it out, because I talk about, some of the deeper science behind, kind of what I call the magic trio. So, and if you don't know what that is, you'll have to go back. I'm pretty sure it's, episode 2 or 3. Anyway, I hope you guys had a good holiday and that you guys have a great week this week. November is nearly complete. And then we will jump into the last month of 2020. Yeah, if you like what you've been listening to, go ahead and subscribe and like. And if you would be so kind as to leave a review, that goes a really, really long way. The more subscribers and the more reviews we have, the better people will be able to find us. And that's really important. So if you can and you're willing, it is much, much appreciated. And then go ahead and follow us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at Feisty Mindfulness. And then there's also feistymindfulness.com. Check out our website. And then if you have questions or you want to email us and you don't want to connect on social media, that's totally fine. You can always email us at feistymindfulness@gmail.com. All right. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.